The following is a preview of Doctor Who Podshock number 179, the extra edition for Podshock supporting subscribers. This is part two of our 10 Doctors special. Colin Baker once again takes a bold, boisterous approach to the Sixth Doctor, and that's seen in his demeanor and the clothes that he wears. There's nothing boring about the Sixth Doctor. Unfortunately, though, his era was cut short by external forces interfering with the series.
Many times Colin Baker gets a bum rap, and I think that's really unfair. You know, his character was a bit arrogant. He was rough around the edges, and I liked that contrast to other Doctors. The show was put on hiatus. That was the first time that Doctor Who really took a knock. But to see somebody forced out of a part, to see somebody who was so enthusiastic to play the part, I agree with you too, Lewis, that I'm really excited that his Doctor has a resurgence now with the Big Finish stuff.
And when I agreed to play it, he said, however, I must ask you to commit yourself for 4 years. We want to sign a contract with you with free renewable options. So that way you are guaranteeing us a longer period as a Doctor than Peter gave us, because we don't want to keep changing every 3 years. We want to have at least 4 years. And that suited me as well, so I accepted that. And the then controller of BBC One also left, and a man called Michael Grade became controller of BBC One. One of the first things that Michael Grade did, and this is history now, is that he cancelled an enormous amount of programming, including Doctor Who, which caused a furore. The national press in Britain had headlines everywhere saying Doctor Who axed, greatest TV institution of our lifetime, is gone forever. And there was an uproar. Michael Grade said, yeah, it's too violent, needs some more humour. Off you go. And said, we'd like to thank you for your contribution in the past, but the programme needs drastic changes at all levels, not just casting. His idea of drastic changes at all levels seemed to remain quite firmly with me. I just feel very frustrated that I wasn't allowed to build the character anymore.
With the Sixth Doctor's run prematurely cut short, Sylvester McCoy steps into the series, and he plays up the lighter side. Though, towards the end of his era, we see a more mysterious Doctor.
Well, Sylvester McCoy's era, it can be said that the turmoil continued. Let me start by saying that Sylvester McCoy, the person, is probably one of the most enthusiastic, one of the best ambassadors for Doctor Who that you ever would wish to have. He came in right off the bat at 1,000 miles an hour, makes tons of personal appearances, is always gracious, always full of energy, always ready to go, and supported the show long after the show had been dead and buried in 89, more so than any actor should be expected to do. And I think we see a glimpse of the more serious side in the McGann movie. I liked that Doctor more. I think the show exemplifies the frustration of John Nathan Turner at that point, wanting to leave, being forced to stay. And anybody who's worked at a difficult job will relate to frustrations that sometimes circumstances are out of your control. And it doesn't mean that you don't feel strongly about your career or what you do. But then there's sometimes where you're just like, boy, I just wish this guy would get it finally. And I think that's what he was a victim of.
When you have characters like the Candyman and just absurd things going on, you're going to lose the diehard fans, the longtime fans, and the new people just tuning in is going to think the show's silly. And so, of course, you're going to drop off some numbers. I thought the Seventh Doctor and Ace made great companions. Marvelous combination there, marvelous chemistry.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have worked with the Doctors, you know. I know that I say it was a pleasure recently to do the audio.
In 1996, you did the telemovie, Doctor Who.
Also, I was delighted to come back to it after all these years. Mm-hmm. I was also delighted the fact that I thought this was the rebirth of Doctor Who. That was really good, because I'd grown to know and get, you know, the fandom and the whole fan world, as it were, and realised very much how much people would enjoy having it back.
Well, that makes a great segue into the Eighth Doctor. Paul McGann arrives on the scene in 1996 to hopefully save the series after its long absence. The Paul McGann era really encompasses more than just that, because, yes, that was the only televised story so far.
Still holding out hope that maybe he'll come back in the new series and somehow to fill in a Dr. Light episode as I keep on campaigning. He is the Doctor. I think he encompasses everything of what makes the Doctor the Doctor.
I think there's a consensus that Paul McGann was a fine choice to play the Doctor, and I think just about everybody agrees that we just simply didn't get enough of him, and he was left us hungering for more, especially at that time that we were a few years removed from the permanent hiatus that became the end of the Sylvester McCoy era. Some of the things that network television executives, with their short-sighted thinking, they needed a well-known bad guy, and, you know, a motorcycle chase in it, and all the things that you need to have in American television, because we're really not capable of thinking outside the box in the United States. But Paul McGann was a wonderful doctor. I agree with Lewis when he said he has a nice enthusiasm, a bit of mystery. Paul McGann's an excellent actor, yet the childlike curiosity that is essential in the Doctor. He came to life in a spectacular regeneration. To that point, the most spectacular one I'd ever seen.
Had that option of picking up the series, you know, picking it up as a new series. I agree with you that, yes, Doctor Who should be a British-made series, but at the time, this is from 1989 to 1996, there was no new Doctor Who, and at this point, we would, I think a lot of us fans were hungry for Doctor Who to come back, and we would take a joint venture, if that's what it took, to get Doctor Who back. It's either that or the stalkness of no Doctor Who whatsoever.
If anybody who may start the criticism of the current show, just keep in mind, if you're not sure whether they're getting it right these days, just take a look at the first attempt to relaunch Doctor Who and make it a modern budget and a modern production. And this movie is that example. And although it's not deserving the criticism that's often fired at it, it's certainly far from the perfect Doctor Who.
It was supposed to be something way in the back, and you weren't...
Private.
Yeah, it was...
Dignified.
But from a viewer, to me, it was something that
but
I...
But not puritanical, not mean, not...
No.
Just...
Not like it was dirty,
yeah, yeah,
to
yeah,
hide
yeah.
It.
Just, no, it just wasn't
just,
brought up. It was something...
Just half-human.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm. Or a whole alien, because that was the other thing that was introduced... by your doctor,
yeah,
which
the
was
one
that
thing
you were
we
half
get
human,
over yet.
Which they're still not accepting. They're still chapped about.
Say that again. So
that you're half human. That was never that way before you.
Yeah,
they were
that
all
was thrown
100%
into the American
alien.
Crowd who used to miss the Spock, you know.
Right,
like, oh,
right.
Half
and
human.
That's what's still controversial to this
look
day.
Look, 13 years later, I never knew that.
Yeah, that's the big deal.
I
right
should
now.
Have read the script.
The kissing, they've kind of gone, all right, whatever.
Hmm.
But now it's about this whole alien. It's like, I don't know, what was the reason for the disgruntled feelings about that? It's like, no, he can't be half human. He's what
speaking as a fan.
Yeah,
purely,
that's what I want to know.
Because I wrote the whole thing off that he was a little wacky after the regeneration, and it
so
just
he pretended he didn't say
yeah,
it.
He didn't
know what he was
he
saying.
He didn't know what he was talking about. You know, he was a little thrown off by that.
A bit gas in air.
Yes, it's 2005, 2005. Christopher Eccleston firmly brings the series back to television thanks to the efforts of, as I said, Russell T. Davies, Julie Gardner, Phil Collinson, and many others that were involved with this series. And because of that, we have Doctor Who on television today, but that wasn't a given in 2005.
And then to our surprise, I remember when the news was first announced, I gave Ken a call, and I said, Ken, are you sitting down? But to lead this comeback, you had to have someone, some weight, some significance, someone that was going to really bring back the series in style, in a commanding role. It was announced it was going to be Christopher Eccleston, and we got our first taste of Christopher Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor, and
we were blown away.
He really has a command presence, and he's always in control of the situation, even when he doesn't seem like he is. Unfortunately, it was an abbreviated role as the Doctor, and it was only one television series.
The second episode, The End of the World, that really sells him as the Doctor. The thing that I think really stands out for me about Christopher Eccleston's portrayal as the Doctor, not only is he really wonderful, and he's the exact opposite of just about anything you'd expect that a Doctor would be right off the bat. He's wearing a leather jacket. He has short hair. There's nothing corny about his appearance. He's not wearing some kind of colorful jumper or a wacky coat or, you know, something like that. He's looks like just your average guy walking down the street. But Christopher Eccleston lets his portrayal make him alien, make him different. Christopher Eccleston was given just enough time to really make his mark on Doctor Who and not enough time to wear himself out.
But who's going to carry the torch forward from 2005 onwards? David Tennant plays number 10.
And now we have an actor who has the enthusiasm of a Colin Baker, and I'm saying that very specifically in a quote that Colin once had where he said when he was cast as the Doctor that he planned on beating Tom Baker's run. David Tennant seems to have that kind of an enthusiasm where, in addition to his enthusiasm as David Tennant, the actor, the one comment I would say about David Tennant, the 10th Doctor, is also that enthusiasm and that energy, the thing that he brings to the role, the thing that his Doctor is probably best defined as, is his energy. He is enthusiastic and bouncy, for lack of a better word. First off, he's brought enormous sex appeal to the show, the quality of the stories and the things that have been going on. We've been really just very lucky.
This was originally intended to lead up to the 11th Doctor, the regeneration of the 10th into the 11th, and now we got a little taste of the 11th Doctor, and it's too premature to judge him at all at this point. So we're not going to obviously review Matt Smith as number 11 now. Thank you for being a Podshock supporting subscriber. It's because your support that helps make a difference, that makes it possible to bring these shows to you. Not just the extra editions, but all of Doctor Who Podshock. As always, please visit our website, thegallifreyembassy.org or podshock.net for more information about Doctor Who and keeping up with Doctor Who news and forums and discussions in between Doctor Who Podshock episodes. gallifreyembassy.org or podshock.net. Both will bring you to the same site. That was just a sampling of our 10 Doctors special, part 2. The full episode runs 1 hour and 40 minutes. For Podshock supporting subscribers, you would have already gotten this through your personalized feed. If you're not already a Podshock supporting subscriber, you can become one by going to thegallifreyembassy.org or podshock.net and click on the banner ad to become a Podshock supporting subscriber. And you'll be able to hear this episode in its entirety as part of the extra content we provide for Podshock supporting subscribers.